Shavuot Tov, everybody. Welcome. We have to have a little bit of an introduction. So welcome. We're nearing the end of Sefer Dvarim and the end of this series on Sefer Dvarim. So a pleasure to welcome Rabbi Liebtag back home in Alon Shvut. And Vakasha, Rabbi Liebtag.
Okay. So the first question, Bela, 11 a.m. is only today because of Natty's schedule, but we'll be back to 11:15 on a regular basis. This was only a one-time thing. And I'll dedicate the first 10, 15 minutes today to our topic, but something standalone so that someone who comes in at 11:15 will get the main part of the share. So let me go and share my screen and go to our introduction. Okay. Today's class number 13 on our series. And because this week's coming up is Parshat Nitzavim, my question is, what is Brit Nitzavim and why now in year 40? So let me explain the title to make sure it's clear. So last week, I mean, this whole time we've been discussing the main speech in Sefer Devarim and the whole background to the book. And remember, we talked about how the speech is from chapter 5 to 26. And last week, we focused on the word Torah. And the speech was introduced at the end of chapter 4, right before chapter 5. What's coming up, Vezot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. Then we have the laws of the speech, which are about how a nation serves God at a national level. Laws that guide our national behavior. And when it was over, in chapter 27, we have a special commandment to write down this Torah that Moshe just taught on big stones in Har Ebal after the nation sets a foot in the land of Israel and gets established. They're supposed to write down the Torah on big stones and have a celebration on Har Ebal, very similar to the celebration at Har Sinai with sacrifices, teaching Torah, and according to Ramban, says they must have also done a similar like Nasa V'Nishma ceremony, just like in chapter 24. So that was last week. Now, writing down the Torah on Har Ebal, on big stones on Har Ebal, was followed in chapter 27 with not only a ceremony, but also an assembly where after studying the Torah, the Levites are going to stand in the middle of the camp, half the tribes facing one direction, Har Ebal, half facing Har Gerizim. And there, the Levites are going to read out the blessings and the curses, which is chapter 28. If you follow my laws and don't follow my laws, which is very simple, meaning here are the laws of the Torah. If you keep them, you'll be blessed. If you don't keep them, you're in big trouble. That's the blessings and the curses. That's nice and simple. So that's what we said last week. Now, what we have to talk about this week is chapters 29 and 30. Because after the blessings and curses are over, we're going to find another covenant, another brit, which is referred to as Brit Nitzavim because it's called a brit. Or it's also called Brit Arvot Moab because it takes place in the plains of Moab. So in today's class, we're going to focus on chapters 29 and 30, which is better known as Brit Nitzavim. Okay? And we're trying to understand what's the purpose of that brit and why now in the 40th year. And I'll just state my underlying questions. If Brit Sinai was already made 40 years ago, why another Brit now? Because someone could say it's a new generation, but then every generation should need another Brit. So the big question is going to be, why do we need another covenant? I understand repeating the first covenant. That was the main speech. Began with Hashem Elokeinu Kratim under Brit Bechorev. We had that in the beginning of chapter 5. Moshe's first line that these laws are part of a covenant. You made it in Chorev and Har Sinai. And he reviews them and he teaches them over again. So Brit Sinai was binding on everyone. So why do I need another brit at the end of Sefer Dvarim? Why wasn't the original one enough, number one? And is it only because of 40 years later, or basically what's going on? Why do I need another brit? And number two, if we have a brit, what is this brit? Is it the same brit? Is it a renewed brit? What's it all about? And if it's necessary, would it have been necessary even had we not sinned with the sin of the spies? Had the first generation gone in, would we still need this brit? That's our first question. Second question is going to be, the blessings and the curses were given on Har Ebal that we saw last week, are those also only for the new generation, but the blessings and curses, the Parsha B'chukotai, would have been enough? Or would the blessings and curses at Har Ebal also have been given for the first generation? It was God's original plan to have the blessings and curses on Har Ebal part of his original plan, whether they had sinned in the desert or not? And similarly, whatever the Brit Nitzavim is about, would that have been Is that only because of the new generation? Or would it have been also applied to the first generation? So those are our questions. And now I'm going to spend 5 minutes on something that I don't think is complicated. Everyone I try and teach it to says it's complicated. So I'll try to keep it simple. And this should be easier because you just saw this yesterday in Shul. And I want to talk about a pasuk, the last line of the Tochacha, the last line of chapter 28. If you have a Tanakh open, it's much better. I highly advise you having a Tanakh open, especially a Koran. I want you to notice the last line of chapter 28. To do that, I want to just review chapter 28 itself. Chapter 28 is the Tochacha. Remember, chapter 27, the first 8 lines, is the ceremony in Harival to make a, to write down the Torah on stones and have a big learnathon, and teach the Torah, the Eritev. And then Moshe gives some commandments, this is you become a nation today. And then he tells the people, when you come to the land of Israel, gather the nation on Harival, and half the people are going to face Hargrizim, half the people are going to face Harival, and the Levim are going to stand in the middle and read the blessings and curses. Remember, Vanu Alvim Vamru, and then we have the Arurs followed by the Bracha and the Kala. So that was chapter 27. In chapter 28, we're going to find now what that was. So how to begin? That was verses 1 through 14. Followed by Vayayim Lo Tishma, which was much longer, all the way down to verse 68, we'll see. In other words, we have 14 verses of blessing and another some 50 verses of curses. What was it, 98 last count or something like that? It's like, it's really harsh. Now, in the blessings, I just want to point out some key things in the blessings. If you follow my laws, lots of blessings. Remember, Ubao lecha kol brachot elu b'sigucha. All these blessings will come to you, and you'll be blessed everything you do. Listen carefully. Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh, kasher nishbalach. God will establish you as his holy nation, or his am kadosh, as he swore to you at Har Sinai. On what condition should you keep the mitzvot of God and follow his ways? Most just said that over and over again in the mitzvah section in the speech. And then all the nations will see you, that God's name and reputation is associated with you, and they'll be respect you, they'll be in awe of you. It was God's plan of work, hopefully. And then again, God will continue to bless you. If you don't listen, boy, are you in trouble. And Arura Tabair, etc. And I'm just going dot, 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 skipping all the psukim. What's the last line? It's going to get so bad that God's going to bring you back to Egypt in ships, slave ships. Not the Queen Mary, but difficult slave ships. And the manner which I told you, you're not going to see them again. And you're going to be sold into slavery in Egypt. You'll be in the slave market. And it's going to be so bad that you're going to wish, your biggest hope will be that someone will buy you as a slave. Because if you're in a slave market and no one buys you, you're going to die from starvation. In other words, you're going to be in the opposite situation you were when you left Egypt. Your greatest hope will be that I wish I could be a slave in Egypt because my other alternative would be death. That's the nth degree of how bad things will be. That was the last line of the Tochacha. Now, here's my big question. Remember, there's a little parshiyah here. There's a parshiyah break. And then we have, Eile divrei habrit, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe lichrot et bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav, nevan habrit asher krati tam b'chorev. That's usually understood as a summary pasuk. Why? Rashi understands it as a summary. The Aliyah ends right here. The chapter ends right here. And this seems to be summarizing the blessings and the curses, doesn't it? These are the terms of the covenant, which God commanded Moshe to convene with the Jewish people, with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, in addition to the brit that he made with him in Har Sinai, in Horeb. Now, anyone want to suggest a problem with this pasuk? If I say that this is a summary of the blessings and curses in chapter 28, 27 and 28, what's the problem with this summary? Anyone want to suggest something? See if anyone sees the problem.
It says the milvad habrit. It's making it something separate. It's not a summary. It's something new.
Which is an addition. Like, remember milvad olat habokra asher olat tamid? But in the korban musaf is milvad. There's olat tamid. And in addition to that, the musaf, the extra korban, in addition to the regular brit, there's another brit. Now, but these are blessings and curses, and they're not. How does Rashi solve the problem? He says, in addition to the blessings and curses in Bahar B'chukotai, We have the curse, blessings and curses in Parsha Ki Tavo. That's how Rashi understands it. Meaning, it's not a new covenant, but rather, Divrei HaBrit is referring to the blessings and curses on the original covenant. And therefore, these are the blessings and curses of the first covenant that Moshe is telling the people in the land of Moab, in addition to the blessings and curses of Har Sinai, which is Bar Bukhu Katan. The problem is, blessings and curses are never called a Brit. A Brit is a covenant. And if you go back to remember at the beginning of the speech, how Moshe began the speech in chapter 5, he said, what did he say? He said, Hashem Elokeinu Kratim under Brit B'Chorev. We had a Brit in Chorev. So this seems to be an additional Brit in addition to Chorev. Number two, there's a bigger question here. Because let me stop my screen share and go back to the Psukim. Let's go to Chumash real fast. Where's my Chumash? We don't want that. We want Deuteronomy. Here we go. If we go back to chapter 27, right before this all began, Moshe tells the people as follows. Vaitzad Moshe ta'am limor. Moshe commanded the people saying, here, Eile yamdu levarecha ta'am ahar grizim. Followed by the curses and the blessings and the curses. In other words, from here on, there's quotation marks all the way to the end of chapter 28. Now, this is a commandment that's not happening in Arvot Moav. This is a commandment that's going to be done in Har Eval. Listen carefully. The commandment to fulfill this ceremony, the commandment to perform this ceremony was given in Arvot Moav. But the ceremony itself is going to happen on Har Eval. So if I want to say the blessings and curses as a covenantal ceremony, then it's not taking place in Arvot Moav, it's taking place on Har Eval, in the land of Israel. And therefore, if you go back now to that summary pasuk, let's take a look again. I'm sorry. Here's my screen. The question is, how do I diagram the sentence? In other words, are these the Divrei HaBrit? Is that the Brachot and Klalot, right? Which God commanded Moshe in the land of Moab. Let me give a little annotation here. Here we go. Draw here. Are we saying these are the Divrei HaBrit which God commanded Moshe in the land of Moab to make with Bnei Israel on Har Eval? I pretty much have to sort of cut the pasuk apart and say these are the words of the Brit that God commanded Moshe in the land of Moab to commune with the Jewish people on Har Grizim. In addition to the Brit they made at Har Sinai. So we're going from Har Sinai to Har Eval. And then I can say I need a new Brit because I'm in the land of Israel. One possibility. But then the wording, the Pasuk, is sort of backwards. And the main point's missing from the Pasuk. If I take it in order, then these are the terms of the covenant that God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to make with Bnei Israel in the land of Moab. This is the covenant being made in the land of Moab. In addition to the Brit he made with them in Har Sinai. Therefore, it's very difficult to see this Pasuk as a summary of chapter 28. Now, if this ended here and that was it, nothing else I could do, I'd have to follow Rashi. If I understood Ibn Ezra correctly, he claims that this is introducing chapter 29. Why? Because chapter 29 is going to be a Brit. Let's pay careful attention. Let's look carefully now in a second here. Look what happens. If I read Pasuk Samech Tet as the first line of chapter 29, and the Tochacha is over here. And what's coming up now are the terms of a Brit that God commanded Moshe to make with Bnei Israel in the land of Moab. In addition to the Brit he made in Sinai, means I have what I call Brit Nitzavim. And listen carefully, Moshe calls Israel together, gives them a little historical speech, which always happens as a prelude to covenants. Sometimes they're longer, sometimes they're shorter. No, that's a whole discussion. But ancient covenants were always made like that. There's an historical prelude followed by the covenant. And remember at Har Sinai, Atem Ritim Asher Asiti L'Mitzrayim V'Asatkam Akan Fein Asher, look what I did for you. And now in Shemot Yishmo B'Koli, here it's a couple of psukim longer. But listen, he says, Ushmartem B'Divrei HaBrit Hazot. See? Divrei HaBrit, that's why I highlighted them. That should be crystal clear now. If this is an introduction to what's coming up, Samech Tet, then we're not summarizing the Tochacha, we're not summarizing the blessings and curses of chapter 28. Rather, we're introducing the new covenant in chapter 29. And what's the proof? If we continue reading, Moshe starts speaking here and continues, Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You're all standing out here in front of God. For what purpose? everyone, women, children, leaders, everyone in the nation, just like Har Sinai, la'avracha b'vrit Hashem alecha uvalato, in order to pass into this covenant with God and his warning, which God's making with you today. In order to establish you as his nation, and he'll keep your God, like he told you back at Har Sinai. Then he goes on, meaning this seems to be a new Brit, Brit Nitzavim, or we'll call Brit Barvot Noah. In addition to the blessings and curses on the laws of Sefer Dvarim, there's a need to make a covenant in Arvot Moav. This is not to be done on Har Ebal. This is a covenant that Moshe is making with the people right here. Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. At the end of the speech, Moshe is making a covenant with the people before he dies, when they're still on the other side of the Jordan before they enter Israel. And then the question is, why do I need another brit? What's this brit about? So therefore, let me summarize. Okay, now it's like 15 minutes, so now it's regular start time. I'm going to start the main share now. But I just want to summarize the point I tried to make is, what I want to claim is this line, Pasev Samach Tet, which is usually viewed as the last line of the Tochacha and a summary, I want to claim is the introduction to Perek Chav Tet. And now we have to see, what is this brit? Why is it being introduced? And what's the brit have to do with the speech? So now what we need to do is we have to see what is brit nitzavim. Now, we're starting. It's after 50, a quarter after. Let me give the answer and then I'll go and prove it. What I want to claim is as follows. I want to claim the brit nitzavim is a covenant on the covenant. It's not a new covenant. The covenant in Har Sinai, the brit in Chorev, was to be a nation in the service of God. Remember, Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh? God enters the covenant with the people. You're going to be my people to serve me forever. And then if you keep the covenant, you'll be rewarded. Don't keep it, you'll be punished. What I want to claim is that Brit Nitzavim is a covenant about the covenant. Let me explain what I mean, and then we'll read the Pesukim inside. It'll make it easier that way. That way I won't lose you, I hope. What just happened? Not only did God explain the covenant and the laws that come with the covenant, he's giving them the blessings and curses. And what did the people hear? If you keep the laws, oh, you're going to be blessed to the nth degree. You're going to have a great life. If you don't keep the laws, I'm going to punish you to the nth degree times 50, oh, even worse. You're either you're going to be super blessed or super cursed. Now, when you hear that, there's a third option. What's the third option? Don't give me the reward. Don't give me the punishment. If the reward is great and the punishment is harsh, someone could say, you know what, who needs this headache? Just leave me alone. Let me be a normal person. Let me just be, who needs this covenant? And therefore the question comes up, is the Jew allowed to break out of the covenant? Maybe not just the Jewish people, maybe an individual Jew. Now, we know from the time we're born, as it's our early Jewish education, is you're born Jewish, you can never convert. People might want to convert, but halakhically, a Jew does not have the option of conversion. You're born Jewish, you're always Jewish. You can't get out of it. It applies at the national level. Am Yisrael can't decide, oh, we want to leave God. We can't do that. I like to call it's a Catholic marriage. But even we can say Am Yisrael can't break out. How about an individual? Can an individual Jew or can a tribe or a person, a male or female, we'll see in a minute, can they break out? So now that we have a covenant, and the covenant is crystallized, and we know what it's about, and there's blessings and curses, God has to clarify that you can't opt out. And that's what I want to show you now. Yeah. Now when you can't opt out, guess what else? God also cannot opt out. Is that clear? And that's going to be chapters 29 and 30. Meaning, it's a covenant about the covenant. There's a covenant to be God's people. In addition to that, we're going to have terms of the covenant. Divrei HaBrit. What are they? In addition to the fact that you're going to be God's people forever, you need to know that you're Jewish forever. And what people usually understand is saw you at Sinai, when we say Nasa Benishma, that for everyone was there and it's a commitment for all generations. That internal commitment to be God's people and the fact that you can't opt out of Judaism, that's Brit Arvot Moav. Because it's not a new covenant, it's a covenant about the covenant. It's saying that this covenant is binding on both sides. Now you can't break out. God also can't break out. No matter how bad we are, no matter how bad we're punished, one day we'll come back. And we're always God's people. As I like to call it again, a Catholic marriage, there's no possibility of divorce. that needs a covenant. And my claim is, I would have needed that covenant even for the first generation. This isn't because it's been 40 years. I don't need to renew the covenant of our Sinai. That's binding. But now we need a covenant about the covenant, now that we've graduated Sinai University. We've graduated, you know, the desert. We're ready now to become God's nation. And I'll show you the psukim in a minute. Now that we learned Sefer Dvarim for the last time, and we passed our final, and now we're standing. Remember how Yom HaZeneta La'am. Now that we're a nation to God, now it's official. Now we need to know, as we're about to enter the land of Israel, that you can't break out. And this would have been necessary even for the first generation. It's only happening now because only now we're ready. We're finally ready to go in. So now that's the key point I want to make. Now I want to prove it in the Pesukim inside. Let's read chapter 29, what it says. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. You're standing out in front of God, the entire nation, your leadership, as well as all the people from the lowest level to the highest level, even your water carriers and wood choppers, etc. For what purpose? To pass into this brit, this covenant that God's making with you and his warning, which God's correct. He's making this covenant with you today in order to fulfill the original covenant, which is what? L'man akimat chalolam v'yuchalim kasher diber lach. In order to establish the original covenant and make it forever, for the sake of Brit Chorev or Brit Sinai, which is Pasuk Yudbet, Lamana Kibet Chalalam, I have to enter this covenant of Nitzavim. I'm going to pass into this covenant for the sake of fulfilling the original covenant. Now, I want to prove to you now that this is the original covenant. Lamana Kibet Chalalam, Vinachem Kasher Di Berlach, that's Har Sinai. Vachesher Nishba Labatech, Labram Sach Yaakov, that's Brit Avot. I need Brit Arvot Moav. And the word Arvot Moav is awesome because Arvot Moav technically means the plains of Moav, but Arvot also means mutual, what's the word in English? Arvot, like guaranteed. There's a fancy word.
Responsibility.
For that.
Responsibility.
Responsibility.
Arvot is this responsibility? I guess so. When Yehuda says, Anochi Arveno, yeah, I'll take responsibility for Binyamin. The same idea. But it's mutual, not just within the people of Am Yisrael. We're not that we're responsible for one another. There's mutual responsibility between ourselves and God, as we'll see. And I want to show you that we can break out and God can break out. Now let's just read it. What's the next thing God says? Who's this brief binding on all generations? We thought that was everyone takes for granted that was Brit Sinai. That what we think is Brit Sinai, as far as the eternal nature of the Brit, this bonding on all generations, what we call Sayu at Sinai, and all the Neshama were there, that's technically speaking, that's Brit Nitzavim. It's explicit here, isn't it? Here God says finally explicitly that this Brit is bonding not only on this generation, on all future generations as well. Et asher yishno po hayom, those standing here today in front of God, Nitzavim, and those who aren't even here yet today, meaning all, but everyone's gathered. It's not the people who, you know, didn't come to the assembly. It's for future generations as well. Now, why am I doing it now? Because of all the experiences we've had, all of our traveling, there's a good chance I call this what happens after you go to college. You leave yeshiva and go to college, you see different cultures. But someone say, you know, why be Jewish? I see other cultures, what happens? Because you know what happened. In Egypt, and you saw Egyptian culture. And also we went through Ammon and Moab and Edom. Remember, we traveled through their lands, we bought things from them, etc. We maybe took a bypass road, but we saw other cultures. We saw how they were living. We saw Sichon and Og, so we went to war against them. But in the meantime, we've seen many different cultures, and we saw the way they're living. Of course, he says, look how lousy that culture is. Look at their lousy ways. Okay? Pen yesh b'chem ish o isha o mishpacha o sheva. Listen carefully. Should there be an individual, a male or a female? Or a whole family, or even a whole tribe, whose heart now says, you know what? I don't want to follow my God. I want to follow these other gods. To follow these other gods, and he'll be that rotten apple that's going to cause other people to go astray. One person goes astray, he's going to have followers. Okay. But yeah, but Shema Divrei Halal, when he hears these blessings and curses, he says, who needs this? Right? Vidbarech, see the blessings and curses, see the word play, Vidbarech, Bivavo. He'll say to himself in his heart, but the word bracha is there. More. Shalom, I don't need this. I'll be peace with me. I'm going to go my own way. I don't want this responsibility. I want this headache. And that's going to draw other people in. Okay. That's going to take the dry. That's going to make, you know, that's going to contaminate the others. Okay. And therefore, God said, God's not going to tolerate that. Lo yaveh Hashem slach lo. You try to break out, God's going to punish you. You and those who try to follow after you. That's a really harsh warning. All these alot, and that's the Allah that God's talking about. You're in this brit, and you can't break out. And if you try to break out, ain't going to help you. I'll catch you. I'll check up after you. Now, what's the logic? Some people might say, like I said before, I need this brit, especially in light of the blessings and the curses. Because once you say, here's a reward if you follow, here's the punishment if you don't, there's a third possibility. I don't want to be part of the brit at all. Who needs the headache? And therefore, God has to say, you're in on this and you can't break out. Now, someone might say the Jewish people can't break out, but maybe an individual, maybe a male or a female, maybe, you know, or maybe a family says, you know, certain family says, as a family, you want to break out of this, or even a Shevet, let's say Shevet Reuven. Even worse, maybe one group of people thinks a certain Shevet or Mishpacha should be cut off. We call that Sinat Chinam. Maybe for the good of the Jewish people, we have to cut one group off. No. You're born Jewish, you're Jewish, everyone's in, and no one can leave. And we have to learn, you know, to accept one another, but you can't break out, and you can't break other people out. It's a binding on all, and therefore, that's the covenant of Brit Nitzavim. That's what it says. And then you have all the warnings. Now, I want to go back to, let me just fast forward ahead to a minute to show God's side on the covenant. Then we have all the warning. I'm sorry, I should have put it on the source sheet, but let's go back now to chapter 29. Sorry, my screen right? Chapter 29. That was chapter 28. I mean, that was chapter 29. In chapter 30, what's God say? Should these warnings come true, the blessing and the curse, which I put you, and you're in exile, let's say I had to punish you and send you into exile, ultimately you're going to go in. Do tshuva. In all the nations that I sent you into exile, v'shavta d'Hashem Elokecha, then ultimately you're going to come and do tshuva. V'shamata b'kol asher ashronach me'asav hayom atal v'necha, then b'chol nafshecha. Then we're going to read this when you do the Mishnah Berach for the Medina. V'shav Hashem Elokecha shvutcha b'richamecha, v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amin me'asher pitzcha Hashem Elokecha shama. This is the only time that explicitly God promises what's called kibbutz galiot. In Vayikra, he promised, I'll remember my brit, but he didn't say explicitly, I'm going to bring you back from exile to land. He implies that. But here it's explicit, that what's going to do? God will accept your repentance. Okay? And im yadi dechacha mikzeh shamayim, don't we quote this in the Mishnah Berurah for the state of Israel? If you're anywhere on the corners of the earth or anywhere under the heaven, misham yikabetzcha Hashem alecha misham yikachacha. God will bring you back wherever you are. And he'll bring you back to the land that he promised your forefathers. And he'll circumcise your heart. We have this whole process of tshuva. You understand why I picked the topic for this week? It has to explain Rosh Hashanah davening and the whole process of tshuva. And then, v'atat teshuva shamata b'kol Hashem, if again, on the condition you follow and listen and keep his mitzvah, which I'm commanding you, and then you'll be blessed again. Now, and then he says, you know, this mitzvah is not impossible, it's doable. And basically, God's saying, no matter how bad it gets, God can't break out either. Now, why is that important? Let me stop my screen share for a minute and share something with you. This idea, let me explain to you why I'm calling it a Catholic marriage, not just for the analogy that there's no possibility of divorce. Again, we're always God's people, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect marriage all the time. As I say, sometimes we're sleeping on the couch, we're in exile. But ultimately, we're going to get back together. Now, this idea is key in the tshuva process. Why? Because sometimes you're punished so hard, you give up hope. Remember Ezekiel's dry bones, Yechezkel? When the first temple was destroyed and the nation is in exile, Ibn Babel, what's the most logical conclusion that people reach? We are like dry bones. Remember Yavshua Tzmatenu Nigzanu Lanu. And it's like death, which is an irreversible process. It's very logical to think we were so bad that God's covenant with us is over. And once you think it's over and there's no possibility of return, you'll never return. The knowledge that one day that it's never over, this relationship can be fixed, that begins the process of tshuva as opposed to depression, giving up, there's no hope for me. The worst situation you're in, there's no hope for me, there's no possibility of recovery. The second you know I can fix things can be fixed, but it's up to me to make it better, but there's a possibility of return, that brings up the whole process of tshuva. If I want to take the example of God's attributes of mercy, When God promises that he can be a forgiving God, that doesn't mean he will forgive. It means he can forgive, as opposed to you can't forgive. You know, if I'm in Midat Adin, you sinned, you're punished, there's nothing you can do about it. It's, you know, the plane took off, you missed it. Nothing you can do to bring it back. Where, and with Midat Rachamim, the idea that we're saying, when we say Slichot, is that, yes, God can forgive. We're not saying he will forgive. We need to know he can forgive, but we have to be worthy of his forgiveness. And therefore, we recite those attributes of mercy to remember he can forgive. And that understanding needs to be transformative. And that leads to the process of tshuva. I know he can forgive, but I have to be deserving of his forgiveness. And that leads to tshuva. The same thing here as the Jewish people. We need to know that we're God's people forever. And no matter what, God can't break his covenant with us. We can't break it with him. He can't break it with us. That's an important enough idea that requires the covenant. What's my proof? Again, it's Sunday morning, so I guess I can do something about Christianity. That's the minhag, isn't it? We see Sunday morning on the radio, you have all the preachers. Again, the way I understand Christianity, their claim is exactly what Brittany Savim is countering. They're saying, you know, we were once God's people, we were so bad, he dumped us, he made a new testament. You know, he dumped his original covenant, he doesn't want a people anymore, he has a new relationship with humankind. We're saying, no, we're always God's people. We always have the destiny. If we live up to it, that's our responsibility. God doesn't promise it's going to work. He promises it's always our destiny. It's always a possibility. And he'll do it. So he'll punish us when we're bad, but he'll always give us an option of return. As we said in this week's parsha, it might take a long time. It might be earlier if we're ready earlier. But that understanding is key in Jewish history. It enables the possibility of return. It's so important it needs a separate brit, and that's brit nitzavim. And hence, I would have needed this brit even for the first generation. It's not because it's 40 years later. It's something that's necessary. That's why I go back to the introductory psukim. These are the terms of the brit that God made with the Jewish people in addition to the brit and chorev, mevada brit and chorev, because this is an additional brit, but it's not a new brit. It's a brit about the brit, that the original brit is unbreakable on both sides. Again, you can have a contract, but you can break out of a contract. You might have to, you'll lose your reward. You'll lose your punishment. You won't have your punishment, but you might think, I can break out. God's saying, no, you can't break out. Okay. Now I want to show, that's what I wanted to explain. So now we saw the psukim in those two sides in chapter 28 and 29, and that's the main point of it. Now I want to show you the introduction again. Let's go back to our source sheet. And go back to what we said before. What did God say? Here's my point. What was my point? Ela Divrei HaBrit is introducing now. Okay? The covenant that God's made, that God commanded Moshe to make with the Jewish people in the land of Moab, in addition to the Brit in Chorev, because it's about that Brit. It's in addition to that Brit, because this is the Brit that Brit Sinai is binding on all generations, on God himself. Now, question comes up. How can God limit himself? Can God say I can't do something? What do you mean God can't break out of the brit? God's all powerful. Anyone know of a precedent where God decides, where God limits his own powers? They call it tzimtzum in Kabbalistic terms. When's the first time that God says I can't do something? Anyone remember where in the Bible early on did God say, even though I can't do something, I can't do something? Anyone remember? It's a famous story.
The Mabul?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. After the Mabul, God makes a promise, I'm never going to bring another Mabul again. Now, I want to show you how key that story is of the Mabul to understanding Har Sinai. Let me show you now. That'll be let's go back to Brit Nitzavim. What did God say? Okay, I need this brit to establish you as my people. Kashir di berlach, like I told you at Har Sinai. Kashir nishba la batech, la bram lishak yakub, like I told your forefathers. Let's see when that happened. So let's begin with, when did he tell our forefathers? Remember? Let's go back to the phrase. Lamana kimat chalam, bhu yelacha lalohim.
Bhu yelacha lalohim. Saba sargel, sholef ala shulchan shel kol yelid.
That's the brit of, let's do a quick little mute there. Okay. Let's go back now to Lo'ot Lacha L'Elohim. Okay. Vuya Lacha L'Elohim Kasher Diber Lach. Where's the first time that happened? The first time we have that phrase is in Brit Milah. I want to do a quick review of Brit Milah in chapter 17, because at the seed level, it's a covenant between God and the people, but at the seed level, when God chooses Avram Avinu, it's in order to become that nation. Remember, Veschal Goy Gadol. I'm going to make you a nation. God's going to watch Avram's history. So the process of that history, becoming the nation, going to Egypt, coming out, that's Brit Ben Aftarim. But the core covenant to be God's people forever is Brit Milah. So let's just see the key phrases in Brit Milah. Avram is 99. Hashem appears to him and says, my new name is El Shaddai. With the opening commandment, Titalech Lefanevi Etamim, which reminds me again of Noah, right? That's what Noah was. That's what Avram needs to be. Avram is sure that's what we need to be. Walking with God, walking, leading the way in front of God, and being perfect in our ways. Then God says, I'm going to make a brit ben you ben echa. Remember that phrase, ben you ben? It comes up a lot. I'll multiply you, because you have to become a nation. Avram falls on his face. And what does God tell Avram of you? Ani ne briti itach. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And what's the purpose of that covenant? You will be an avamon goyim. That's your destiny. That's not just a promise. That's not a reward. But your destiny is to be, remember, a mentor, an av. You'll be like a mentor. Not the father of many nations, but a father to many nations. We're talking about the Jewish people, we're not talking about Yishmael and Amalek and Esav, etc. We're talking about the Jewish people. We're talking about the Brit with Am Yisrael. You're going to be an Ava Mongoim, which is the father to many nations. That Isaiah's idea of being a light to other nations. And therefore, to remember that, your name won't be Avram, but be Avraham, to remind you that you're Ava Mongoim. I'm setting you aside to be that. That's not reward, that's responsibility. That's the purpose of the Brit, not the reward for the Brit. And therefore, I have to multiply you so you can become that nation. And I'm going to set you aside to serve those nations, to represent God. And you have kingdom, you have sovereignty to accomplish your goal. And then the big phrase, remember this one. Vakimoti et briti benu benecha. I'm going to establish this Brit between me and you and your offspring. Livrit olam. Brit olam means an eternal covenant, forever. That's the seed. That's the precursor to Brit Sinai and to Brit Nitzavim. The Brit Olam is Brit Nitzavim. It's going to be forever. V'yotlachalohim is Brit Sinai. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Remember the song we're going to sing on Yom Kippur? Anu amecha teloheinu, anu banecha tavinu. That's going to be the idea we're going to talk about here. To fulfill that goal as a vehicle, to accomplish that goal, to be a nation serving God, you need a land. Therefore, as a vehicle, I'm setting aside a land for you, the land of Canaan, Lachuzat Olam, and there I'll be your God, so you can fulfill their goal to be God's people. But you only have the land on the condition you keep my laws properly. If not, I'll have to throw you out until you learn your lesson. And then he tells Avram, keep this brit, and then this is the brit you have to keep between me and you, and you have to do circumcision. Your reminder that you have to be God's people forever will be circumcision, that be the oath brit, sign of the covenant, and it's a meaningful sign because to be God's people forever, you have to have children. And therefore, the reminder that you need to be God's people forever, and hence you have to have children, and you have to teach them Torah, your eternal reminder will be circumcision. Now, all the phrases here are not new in Chumash. This is chapter 17, and thematically, it's the very first time that Elohim, by Daber Ito Elohim Lemor, the first time that Elohim, the same Elohim who created in 7 days, remember Bereshit Bara Elohim et Hashamayim v'et Haaretz, the God who created all nature. Okay? This is the first time that Elohim speaks to Avram Avinu. Yudke Vavke spoke to him many times. He told him to make that's the God of, watching the history and the process of Avram coming from Ur Kasdim and bringing him to Israel and watching over his history and his life. But now Elohim himself, the God who created and recreated after the flood, he's now making this brit with Avram Avinu. And all the terminology of this brit echoes the rainbow covenant after the flood. Just look at the key phrases. Again, we're not going to do this. That's a standalone share. Just review the key points. Then Elohim blesses Noach and tells him, Purvul. Similar idea. Elohim tells Noach, I'm going to, hinimi kimet briti itcha. And the same phrase, vakimoti et briti itchem. Just like we have here. Remember? Vakimoti et briti beniu benecha. We said that before. That was by Avram Avinu. The last time Elohim spoke to anyone before Avram Avinu was in chapter 9 with the rainbow covenant. Elohim tells Noach and his children, I'm going to make a brit with you, that there won't be another Mabul. As we mentioned, here again, God promises he won't do this again. God promises he's limiting his ability. God could, but God says, I won't. I won't destroy all of creation again. And what's God's reminder? There's going to be an oat brit, and that'll be the rainbow. The oat brit benyu benchem, benyu ben haaretz. So therefore, just like brit milah, we have a brit benyu beni, it's a brit olam, and it's going to be an oat brit. And therefore, the story of the flood is being presented in a way for us to appreciate the need for brit with Avram and the nature of the brit with Avram. Because God can't bring another flood, what can God do when civilization goes astray? In the civilization, God's going to have one nation whose destiny or purpose is going to be to make sure there's a model nation acting in a way to be a model for other nations to learn from. Will it work? That's our destiny if we live up to it. But it can always work if that possibility is always there. But we have to live up to our side of it. But we need to know that just like God's brit with his creation is eternal, his brit with us is eternal. And we'll see this in, actually, I'll show you to it in Yeshayahu in a minute. That was Haftarah we read 2 weeks ago in Roni Akara Lo Yalada. So that's what he told our forefathers. When did he tell this? Asher Dibelach, he told this to the first generation coming out of Egypt. Remember the four cups in Sefer Shemot in chapter 6 in Parsha Vayera? Remember, Vitzalti Etchem, Vegalti Etchem. Fourth cup, Vilakatchem Lila'am, Vaiti Etchem Elohim. It was Pasuk Vav is getting out of Egypt. That's Gula, God fulfilling Brit Ben Aftarim. Pasuk Zayin is God fulfilling Brit Milah. Vilakatchem Lila'am, Vaiti Etchem Elohim. Idatem Keni Hashem Elohim, Vamitzitchem Mitachet Zivot Mitzrayim. God's forecasting what's going to happen. Remember, it's before we leave Egypt. That's in Parsha Vayera, before the 10 plagues. God's getting them ready for the 10 plagues and getting them ready for redemption. They're not ready for redemption, but God gives the different stages of redemption. And this will be getting the Torah at Har Sinai. And then after you get the Torah, then I'll bring you to the land. And then you'll be my people. Then we leave Egypt. We go to Har Sinai. We have the essence of Brit Sinai, which is, if you follow my laws, remember, it's Parsha Yitro, chapter 19, right before the 10 commandments. And you'll be my treasure nation from all the nations. We take this idea, what does it mean to be God's people? So you'll be a nation, like a coin representing a God. You'll be a nation, a sovereign nation representing a God. You'll be a nation separate from all other nations in the service of God. Okay, that's the brit of Brit Sinai. And again, Brit Arvot Moav is going to be that this brit is eternal and no one can break out. The phrase again, we built, remember the Mishkan is a symbol of Har Sinai. So, Vikidashit Ol Moed, etc. But the Mishkan's over, Vashachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael V'atid L'Mel Elohim. Just showing you this phrase, Lot L'Chel Elohim, is the core covenant, all through Chumash. If you know your Rosh Hashanah davening, that's the concept of Mafiot. Not that God only is king and he exists, but it's our job to serve him and we're God's people forever. We have to remember that. And, that's the beginning of Mafiot in our Rosh Hashanah davening. And we need to know we're internalized. And that's why I took you out of Egypt. And Shabbat, we're not going into, but Shabbat is the old brit of Brit Sinai. Remember, our eternal reminder that we're chosen by God to serve him. Shabbat will be our weekly reminder. We'll see Rosh Hashanah will be our yearly reminder. Okay. Now let's, in light of this, let's go back and see the end of Sefer Devarim. What happened? Now I'll review what we did because we have 5-10 minutes to finish up. What do we have in the main speech? The speech began with, remember in chapter 5, Hashem Elokeinu Kratim under Brit B'chorev. Let me just show you the psukim in chapter 5 one last time. Make sure it's crystal clear. Deuteronomy chapter 5. The speech began right here. Moshe calls the people and tells them, Shema Yisrael, to all these laws I'm teaching you, learn them and keep them. Hashem Elokeinu Kratim under Brit B'chorev. God made a brit with this one, Chorev. It wasn't only with your parents, it was you as well. God spoke to you directly. I was the middleman, the Ten Commandments, and then all the laws. Let's go back to our other sheet. That was the introduction. Then we had chapters 6 to 11 was how to love God and fear God, the Mitzvah section, the Tuchim Shpatim section from chapters 12 to 26. We've done this almost every year. And then look at the conclusion and the phrase Hayom Hazeh. I think the piyut that we sing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hayom Hayom Hayom, Hayom Tamseno, all that, is built on this. Remember the conclusion of the speech we saw last week as well. On this day, on what day? The day of the speech of Devarim. But on this day, who's commanding you these? Hashem, your God, is commanding you these laws. Keep them with all your heart and all your soul. Then we have the exchange of vows. But what did God take? What we took upon ourselves and what God took upon himself. At Hashem Hemartayom, what we took upon ourselves and what God took upon himself. Look at the four things that we took upon ourselves in this covenantal agreement. Number one, Le'ol L'chal Elohim. Shouldn't surprise anybody now, right? That's Brit Milah, that's Brit Sinai. That's the core Brit. I'll be your God, you're my people. Not that he exists, but we're chosen to serve him. He's our boss. To follow his ways, the L'chal B'Dorchav is doing Mishpat and Staka, defined in chapter 18 in Bereshit. Being diligent in keeping his laws, Yishmor Chukam Yisfadah Mishpatah, basically keeping Shulchan Aruch, following the law code, being a diligent citizen, Jew, following all his laws, and to be obedient, Yishmor B'Kolom, to obey him. Those are the things that we took upon ourselves. That's our responsibility. What did God take upon himself that will be his treasure nation, as he told us at Har Sinai, to keep all his laws, and to put us in the leadership position of other nations. Remember, Nitzilah for God's glory and God's renown and reputation. And that will make us an Am Kadosh, as he told you at Har Sinai. Now, that's the end of the speech. Remember? And therefore, the speech is followed by, these are laws, the reward and punishment, to write these down in Har Ebal, once you enter the land of Israel, and you're stepping, and you begin your conquest, make this sermon in Har Ebal, similar to Har Sinai, read the reward and punishment, write the Torah down in stones. This is a ceremony that's going to take place in the land of Israel. That's necessary because we're going to Israel. And I think it would have been necessary even for the first generation, because even though the Brit was made in the desert, it's got to be reestablished in the land of Israel. And remember, Avram first came to Shechem. Har Ebal was right next to Shechem. Avram's first entry was into Shechem, and we talked about this last week, as well as Yaakov's. And now Brit Nitzavim, as we meant, is going to be the eternal nature of the covenant. It's a covenant about the covenant. Why? Because it's happening now, and it's a Brit about the Brit. That we can't break out, and God can't break out. Now, I want to show you this idea in Isaiah. We'll see in a minute the Haftarah we read 2 weeks ago, and also the Haftarah for Noah. And we'll see the same thing in Yirmiyahu. Actually, we'll show Isaiah of the Psukim. Remember, Rani Akara is chapter 54. It's a very short Haftarah, it ends there. Ki mei Noach zot li, asher nishbati mevor mei Noach od. Okay. My covenant, Isaiah is saying, my covenant with you, he's talking about the return from exile. Says, my covenant with you is like my covenant with Noah, with the waters of the flood of Noah. Just like I promised Noah, I won't bring another flood. Just like I promised I won't bring another flood. I swore to you that I won't abandon you as my people. Because whatever happens to the mountains, etc., right? My commitment to you will never move. My brit with you is eternal. It won't budge. And that's why it's a very fitting haftarah. In fact, if you remember Zichronot, it's not by chance in Zichronot, but Socher HaBrit, we begin with the story of the flood. Remember your Rosh Hashanah davening, Zichronot, the first beauty of Zichronot, is at the Socher, starts with the story of the flood, for that reason. Yirmiyahu, we'll get a chance to see Yirmiyahu in a minute. Yeah, we'll see Yirmiyahu right now. There's one other thing I wanted to do. Oh yeah, about this Hayom. But why? Remember, in this section, we have Hayom Hazeh three times. Hayom Hazeh, Hashem Elokecha Ma'asavchot. At Hashem Amarta Hayom. Hashem Emircha Hayom. Remember I told you that we're graduating now in the desert? Let's go back for a minute to chapter 27. Right before the Brachot and Klolot. Right before then, we had... where do we have it? As soon as the ceremony of Har Ebal is over... Remember, by Deber Moshe Ba Konim Halavim. We talked about this last week. The Moshe and the Konim Halavim tell the people Israel saying, Haskik to Shema Yisrael, Hayom Hazeh Neite Lam Hashem Elokecha. Today you graduated. Now that you've graduated, now I need Brit Arbot Moav. We'll see, that's going to be the introduction. On what condition? Vashamata B'kosh Hashem Elokecha V'sit Mitzvotah V'Hashem Elokecha V'Sat Hayom. Now that you learned all the laws and learned them over and over again, now you're ready to become God's nation. And then Moshe commands the bracha u'klalot and the tochacha. And when that's all over, in chapter 29, on the same day, what does he say? Moshe calls them together and tells them as follows, Atem nitzavim, I'm sorry, what is that? Atem nitzavim? Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem. Is the word hayom again? In Boshechem Sheifchem. The word hayom just ties everything together. The end of the speech, the brachot and kolot, and brit nitzavim. And if you remember, just for the fun of it, if you remember good old Har Sinai, remember that little mistake in Hebrew in chapter 19 in Shemot that begins the story of brit Sinai. B'chosh Hashir b'tzei b'nei Samar Yisrael b'yom hazeh, as opposed to b'yom ahu, b'al midbar Sinai. When Rashi's commented, every day is Matan Torah. That idea of Yom Matan Torah, it's a day beyond time. It's an eternal day, but the eternal nature of Brit Sinai is focusing on this word, Ayom. Now, let me just end the share with Yirmiyahu, chapter 33. Chapter 33, Yirmiyahu is going to take, remember Yirmiyahu was dealing with a nation, just like Yechezkel, it's like the end part of Yishayahu, but Nevuot of Nechama, when Am Yisrael is returning from exile, Yirmiyahu forecasts, or actually is living through the destruction. And what's he tell the people? This is the story that we got. This is Haftarah for Parsha. That's interesting. This is the Haftarah for Bar Bechukotai, the other Tochacha, where God tells Yirmiyahu to go buy a field. Remember? The city's going to be destroyed. And then and after he buys the field, he has all this big promise. Now he says as follows. I'll just do the last three psukim at the end of it. Pasuk Yotet. Okay. Vayi Devar Hashem al Yirmiyahu l'emor. Kol Mar Hashem. I'm sorry. Let me just go to the main part. Actually, it's over here. Kol Mar Hashem. Im tafir with briti ayom with briti alayla levuti yom v'alayla bitam. If my covenant with day and night, just like I'm not going to change nature with day and night, I'm not going to break my brit with the house of David. And then he goes and with the Levim. And now he says as follows. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayi Devar Hashem al Yirmiyahu l'emor. Halo ra'ita. God tells him, don't listen, don't you see and understand what the people are saying? The two families that God chose, the family of Israel and the family of David, right? That God chose them, bi'us means I've unchosen them. The people are saying, exile means game over. Because God's telling Yirmiyahu, don't you see what the people are saying? They think this relationship is over. But the state family, the families that God chose, he's cast them off. Okay? My nation, Na'atsun, he's unhappy with them. He doesn't want them to be his nation anymore. Okay? That's the conclusion that people are reaching. That's exactly why I need Brit Arvot Moav. Kol Mar Hashem, Im lo Briti yomam v'layla, chukot shmai v'aretz lo samti, just like my Brit with nature. That's after the flood. I'm not going to bring another flood. I'm not going to change nature again. Just like my brit with day and night, with nature, the laws of the heavens and earth. Just like I can't change them, Gam Zera Yaakov David Abdi Amas. Just like I won't break with them, I won't break my covenant with the house of Jacob, the Jewish people, and the house of David to be their leaders. Yikach Mizorom Mushlim Azera Avram Yisach Yaakov. Kiyashuv et Shvutam Brichamtim. Ultimately, one day I'm going to bring them back and have mercy on them and bring them back to their land. And they'll be my people again. We might be in exile even for more than 1,000 years, but the brit, that brit is there forever. And I have to finish, so let me take a quick look at the chat. One last thing on the share. Maybe we'll do this next week. I get in the share. This theme comes up a lot in Rosh Hashanah davening. In my opinion, Malchiyot, exactly this idea, not only that God chose us to be his nation and we're chosen to serving him, but we need to remember all the time that we're God's people and he chose us to serve him. But once a year, I make a big deal about it. And we say it every day in Shema, but once a year, this idea of Malchiyot, that our hope is that God become king over all nations. But what do we want? We want every living thing to say, every living person to say that Hashem, the God of Israel, the God that the Jewish people talk about, the God that the Jewish people are serving, he's the one and only God. His kingdom is ever. We don't want everyone to be Jewish. We want everyone to recognize God and obey properly. It's going to happen by, if I if we keep God's mitzvot, separate ourselves, like dedicating ourselves to following his laws and keeping the Torah and enjoying his goodness that he blesses us when we follow the laws and serving him with a pure heart, etc., then that goal can be accomplished. That's one of the key themes of Rosh Hashanah davening. That's the Bracha Malchiyot. So let me stop here, and I have 3-4 minutes. We'll chat, see if anything critical in the chat. Okay. The Brit Nitzavim is a commitment to the mitzvot of not just Devarim, of all the Torah, but the main, remember, the main mitzvot of Har Sinai are in Devarim. But he says, Nishmor kol mitzvotav. Actually, it's right here. It's the end of Perek Chavtet. Real quickly, Devarim, your question is exactly the end of Perek Chavtet. Sorry. Go here. Bible, Deuteronomy, Devarim Perek Chavtam Sechavav. Those last psukim, what's it say? Et Hashem emartem lacham shkula lacham lacham, keep his laws. Okay. Hashem emartem lacham shkula kishbech, v'dishmor kol mitzvotav, not just the ones in the Devarim, but all the mitzvot and all the other books as well. So that was that question. Let's go back to the chat beforehand. Okay. Okay. Doesn't avuzat kula olam mean? No, achuzat olam doesn't mean it's always our, it's set aside for us, but just read the rest of Chumash, God can take it away when we're not bad. It's always, it's our destiny to be in that land, but we can lose it if we don't keep the laws properly. Chumash says that over and over again. Okay, the Akedah topic, that's not within 2 minutes. Maybe we'll deal with that closer to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Brit Milah is the code word. Brit Milah is the core of the covenant. Yot lachal Elohim. And then, okay, that's a good point that it's, we're just stating it clearly. Okay, that's a private one. It was the ones, you're right. I skipped over it. It's the ones, that's mad, but I think it's the rotten apple that's going to sweep other people. Like something dry is going to become wet when it touches something else. It's wet. That's how I understand the idea of a rotten apple. You know, one person wants to break out, everyone's going to follow him. Okay. The guarantees that guarantors have on earth. Okay. And okay. Okay. The first thing was mutual. My point is that God, there's entering a brit, which is mutual, but a brit about the brit's not breakable. That's a brit on the brit. You can have a marriage contract. It's breakable. Ask any Protestant, right? You can get divorced. But a Catholic marriage, no, you can't get divorced. That's a different, that's a stronger commitment. Then Chazal, that happened at that Shua forever was after the Akedah. Okay, you're right, the chapter numbers are not Jewish. That's true, that's why it's okay that the chapter division is off. Okay, and I have to finish up because I have to, okay, this source is over there. And we have to, okay, link the sources, okay. Okay, I think I covered most of the questions, but I got to finish, right, Rabbi Kelman?
Right, yeah. You're speaking at the YCT Yom Iyun, so class was at 11 o'clock today. Next week, we're back to 11:15, and of course, Rabbi Helfgott will be here at 10. Rabbi Helfgott organized the YCT Yom Iyun on Tanakh. So next week, Sunday, 10 o'clock, Rabbi Helfgott, part 3 on Sefer Yonah, and Rabbi Liebtag at 11:15 next week. Tomorrow, of course, we have a triple header. Dr. Reinhold at 11 o'clock finishing up his series on Tshuva. Tomorrow, the psychology of Tshuva. Jennifer Raskis at 1 p.m. on Tshuva in Tanakh. Tomorrow, discussing the story of Yosef and reconciliation. And, of course, tomorrow night, Mark Shapiro continuing his series on great rabbinic thinker Shaul Lieberman. Tuesday morning, Rabbi Adler will finish his series on re-experiencing Rav Soloveitchik's Rosh Hashanah. And the regular shiurim during the week, rest of the week, you can check here with our event calendar. A lot of you probably haven't seen that on the website, but that's where we list all the upcoming programs, the times and everything. That's probably the easiest way. You can go to the homepage, go to the program page, but we have it listed there. Anyway, want to wish everybody a wonderful day, wonderful week. Hope all is well. Like always, please invite a friend and to join, and we look forward to learning with you and to have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Kelman.
Yes.
Kelman. Thank you. Well, two things. First of all, thank you for a wonderful shiur, presenting the speaker. Secondly, unrelated to the topic at hand, you by any chance related to the Rabbi Kelman in Brooklyn of the Dorchester Shul.
Of course, my first cousin, Leib.
First cousin, okay.
Yes.
We go there sometimes, yeah.
Okay, Leib and Bracha, okay. Aaron Farke, I'll ask him. Yeah. So that, my uncle was, you know, the founder of Prospect Park, the school, and this is his son, Leib. And we are first cousins. Yeah, our fathers were brothers, of course.
Very nice. So, okay.
Thank you for asking.
You are very welcome.
Okay. Very nice. Yes. Okay. Everybody, be well. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week. We look forward to learning with you soon.